Personal log. Stardate. Well, let's just say it's a very special stardate. I shouldn't be recording this, but I have faith that the encryption on this is unbreakable. And I want to have my own record of all of this. Or maybe someone will find this someday. This story deserves to be told. I'd been out of the academy for a few years. I'd been on two different ships. I did a damn good job as a transporter technician, because I knew more about transporter technology than pretty much anyone. But the right opportunity to fulfill my dream never came along. Until the new ensign came in, fresh from Starfleet. I was kind of like him once, except nothing like him. He was smart, except his smarts were in security systems. He could look at a security log and tell you all kinds of impossible information from it. He could find traces of illegal access to the system that even his Vulcan superior would miss. He was shy, though. A little awkward. I knew what it was like to be too smart, even for the Academy. But he was also cute in his own way, even if he didn't realize it. A little self-confidence, and he probably would have had a lot more fun at the Academy, like me. It was easy to befriend him. Oh, easy in the sense that he needed a friend, and was eager for one. But also, he was just kind of a nice guy. Or at least once you drew him out of his shell. If you get him started on fractal encryption algorithms or sub-quantum data recovery techniques, he would talk endlessly. I'd smile and give him words of encouragement here and there to keep him going. It's not like I was tuning him out or anything. I was listening, even if a lot of it was way, way over my head. Although he'd be lost in the realm of transportation technology, even if both his jobs and mine were about encrypting and transmitting data efficiently and not losing it. Except, my data was people. I caught him by surprise when I kissed him, just outside my quarters. He was walking me back to my room without even realizing it, just because he was so lost in the conversation we'd started in 10 forward. So he was caught off guard, but in a pleasant way, it seemed. A more aggressive type might have tried to invite himself into my quarters as I said goodnight, but not him. It's part of why he's such a nice guy. I just saw him walk away as the door hissed shut with a happy look on his face. I felt kind of bad. I was going to put his entire career at risk just for my special fantasy, but to be fair, I'd get in just as much trouble if we got caught. Now that there was tension, I let it build for a bit. He talked less about his job and asked more about me, which was cool for a number of reasons. I tend to be my favorite subject, and it was cool to see him move outside his comfort zone, conversation-wise. But also, it let me talk about transporters and how they fascinated me. At one point, over a couple drinks of real alcohol, instead of the usual synthahol, I accidentally let slip my secret sexual fantasy. I wanted to have sex while suspended in the transporter matter stream. I think he was more caught up in the idea that I mentioned sex than the more unusual aspects of the fantasy. Transporters were my passion, literally. You know that tingle when you get when you're being transported? It's almost sexual for me. And I seem to feel it much more strongly than others. Some can't handle transporters, like some trills, but I handle them a little too well. He did have the brains to ask about pattern degradation and other factors, but now he was really getting into my area of interest. I told him about the work of the greats like Scott and LaForge, and how they had found ways to keep people suspended in matter streams for longer than a few seconds. Hell, Scott did it for 3/4 of a century, although granted that was with a 50% success rate. Working off his work and LaForge's, I knew I could keep two people in the stream for more than long enough for my quote-unquote fantasy. His next question was obviously why. He didn't appreciate transporters as much as I did, but then again, few do. Some people are still scared of them, while others just take them for granted. I told him with deliberate coyness about how being transported turned me on. The whole thing about being in a state between matter and energy and how that affected the nervous system and the body and the mind in general. Maybe it was a form of transporter psychosis, but in a good way. And then I just kind of sighed and said that while I knew I could get it to work, of course, it was breaking all kinds of rules. Things had changed a bit since Admiral Kirk could break the Prime Directive 3 times. Before lunch. And get a medal. I'd get kicked out of Starfleet for something that actually had serious scientific merit. And sexual, but technically scientific too. But of course, anything I did would leave traces all over the place. I, of course, didn't stand a chance of cleaning them up on my own, because I was just a simple transporter tech. And someone like him, with all his amazing knowledge of security and analysis, would see through anything something like me could do. It was actually too easy. I could tell I'd set the hook already. It was just a matter of reeling him in. That's a fishing reference, by the way. There's some good programs on the holodeck on them. The holodeck can be a fun place. Not just for fishing, but that's another story. In this story, he basically reeled himself in and threw himself out of the water at my feet. First, he said he was sure I was smart enough to hide the traces, although he admitted that he could clean the logs so well that no one would suspect a thing. It was the closest he was ever likely to come to propositioning me, but it was all I needed. I told him that if he could help me with the logs, he would be the obvious choice to help me with the, shall we say, more physical aspects of the fantasy too. So he agreed. Specifically to the sex, but also technically to risking his Starfleet career. All over little old me. I was actually kind of flattered, even if I did feel a little bad for him. But I was going to live my fantasy. And then he'd leave no trace behind in the system once we were done. We'd meet up in Cargo Bay. People rarely go there. Not without good reason. Well, we had a really good reason. The transporters are just as good as the ones in the regular transporter rooms, but considered secondary systems, so less heavily monitored. He accessed the main computer and did his thing there, setting up false sensor readings and the like. He was really getting into his work, too. I think he forgot I was there until he turned around with a triumphant grin on his face, only to see me standing there naked. I didn't want to waste too much time. I've been waiting so long for this opportunity. And truth be told, I did have a certain fondness for this guy. He's kind of grown on me. I might have even had sex with him for legitimate reasons, under the right circumstances. I helped him with his clothes because he was suddenly all thumbs, despite of how well his fingers were working the Elkar's interface a minute earlier. I kissed him again, much longer and more intensely than that first kiss. And then I asked him if he was ready. All he could do was nod. It was my turn to work my magic. I called up programs I'd spent years on, routines based on Scott and LaForge's work, but also with my own improvements on it. The result would be that the transporter would dematerialize us and held us suspended in the matter stream for what should be more than long enough for my fantasy to be completed. Somehow, the tingling felt even more intense as the transporter did its thing. They've known mass and energy are equivalent for hundreds of years on Earth, and we were just fudging with the balance here. Maybe it felt better because how'd I tweak the transportation process, or maybe because I knew what was about to happen. As the cargo bay faded all around us, I stepped into his arms. The transporter would keep our signals separate, no matter how much our bodies interacted during the process. And I was hoping for a lot of interaction. We kissed and touched and explored each other's bodies leisurely. I was in no hurry, and we didn't need to be. When he finally picked me up, I realized he was stronger than he looked. I definitely approved of that. And I approved even more when he lowered me down onto his cock. Except, it wasn't a normal cock going into a normal pussy. It was a cock and pussy that were in quasi-matter state, both matter and energy at the same time. His cock was a probability wave that happened to look and feel very cock-like at the moment. Feeling that collapse, the wave function that was my Heisenberg's pussy was ecstasy. Or you could call it, in my own recreation of the single-slit experiment. Sadly, those references might be lost on anyone listening to this very personal log entry. You might want to look them up. It felt incredible. It was far and away the best sex I've ever had, and probably the only sex he's ever had. He looked so happy as he fucked me. I swear, some of the sparkles coming off of him weren't from the transporter process itself. Being suspended in the matter stream just made everything feel much more intense for me. I came repeatedly as I rode on his cock, each orgasm more powerful and longer than the previous one, while he held on like a trooper, saving himself until I was literally begging him to come inside me. I sometimes wonder how those super evolved aliens some people keep running into come from. The Q or just about any other race that's evolved past their physical forms. As I came for the last time in the matter stream, when my lover came inside me, I think I almost ascended myself into a being of pure energy. Except I was enjoying the experiences of the flesh far too much to let go of my body. Besides, he was holding on to me too tight, even to let my soul slip away and become something else. Even after we came, he held on to me with my legs wrapped around him as our breathing slowed and our heartbeats returned to normal. Well, actually, we rematerialized before we had completely recovered. He set me down and we kissed some more before putting our uniforms back on again. It took a few minutes to purge the log and any traces of what we had done, or any traces that he had purged anything. He ended up walking me back to my quarters again, but more deliberately. He still wouldn't have tried to invite himself in, so I had to grab him by the tunic and pull him in. The next few hours weren't as transcendental sex as in the matter stream, but I sure don't have any regrets about them. I had kind of planned on dumping him after the transporter thing. Oh, nicely, of course. I couldn't have him being mad at me, even if I think he wouldn't tell anyone what we had done regardless. But, funny thing here. We're still kind of a couple. It's actually the 1-year anniversary of the first time we made love. We have something special planned, of course. A romantic program in the holodeck, drinking in 10 forward, and of course a very special trip to the cargo bay and the transporter there. Something special he suggested to mark the occasion. I, of course, was more than happy to accept. It's not like I'm at all tired of sex in the physical world. I do have a growing desire not to see he or me get into trouble, but there's no way I'm turning this down. Plus, he's agreed to indulge in another one of my fetishes, my fantasies. I'm wondering what a baby conceived in the matter stream is going to turn out like. Assuming I don't come out of this date as a super evolved being, maybe I'll end up giving birth to one. I sure hope so. Although if it's his, I'd settle for a regular baby too.